So good, so good, so good.
New fall arrivals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. Get ready to save big with up to 60% off Vince, Kurt Geiger, London, and more.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
Because there's always something new.
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock exclusive discounts on your favorite brands. Shop new arrivals first and more. Plus, get an extra 5% off every Rack purchase with a Nordstrom credit card. Great brands, great prices. That's why you Rack.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
Your team. Adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice. An individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team. The new fragrance by Miu Miu. Defined by you.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour of Coach podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun. All right, so joining me here on the Tour Coach, once again, it's been a while. I've been wanting to get him back on, but one of the great teachers in the game, Golf Magazine Top 100, Golf Digest Top 50, Canadian living down in Phoenix, Scottsdale. Martin Chuck. What's up, Martin?
Tony Dewsweeper. Good to be with you, brother.
It is great to be with you. And for everybody that watching and listening, if you see somebody out there using a training aid, there's a really good chance he's come up with it and he's selling it on his site too. I know I frequent it all the time and use a lot of his stuff. But Martin, thanks for taking the time and sitting down.
You know what? I'm sitting in my golf cart in my little golf garage here about to get back to some student videos, and it's all good, brother. Great to be with you.
Never ends, does it? The grind never ends. No.
I love it. I love it too.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling. Like sometimes you get, I've had this weekend off and I was like, oh, I'm going to be excited to be off. And then I did a FaceTime lesson, come in, do this. It never ends. But, you know, one of the things I love about you and the stuff I watch is just the commitment and how much you enjoy helping recreational, everyday people that love the game, that really want to get better. And I think that sometimes in our business of teaching, folks get so caught up on trying to help the tour players and those guys and girls and stuff. And it's great that we forget the folks that, you know, that make it possible for me and you to do what we do, which is just the regular old golfers. And thought we'd talk about some of your experiences. You do so many great schools as well as private instruction. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you see. Cause I'm under the belief that there's a lot of things folks could do that would help them get better that aren't necessarily major swing changes or things where it's going to make them play worse. Cause so many people are scared. They're like, oh, I don't want to do this cause it might make me play worse. And I'm like, hell, if we do a good job, you shouldn't leave playing worse.
Right. No, 100%. I think, you know, I just got back from a week in Bend, Oregon, and at Tetherow Golf Club. And honestly, I was there with my elite assistant, Jim Waldron, who's also a world long drive guy, and he can bomb it. And he's a great guy. He's been with me for 13 years. And we actually made a guy turn from right-handed to left-handed this week.
No way.
Honest to gosh. So, you know, it's always a meet and greet breakfast, go around the table, where are you from, blah, blah, blah. He was a Pacific Northwest guy, came to the camp. Lovely fella, probably 60. Good shape, strong guy. One of the goofiest swings tone I have ever seen. And he's been playing golf a long time. Literally, and I know every pro out there thinks, man, I could fix him. You know, and you young guys out there, God bless you if you think you can, okay? But here's what we saw. We saw this, you know, reasonable grip go up, and then he would have a convulsion in his hands, you know, during the backswing and on the way down. It would get so steep, and then he would hit the ground really hard, and he was a strong enough guy to kind of thump the ground really hard. And then, of course, he'd say, oh, I really can't hit off mats. And I'd be like, well, I can hit off mats every day, all day. It doesn't bother me. And I can hit off turf too. And I can hit out whatever you want me to hit off of because I'm not spinning the club in my hands ridiculously. So Jim and I worked on basic drills we do that with most clients. It's like a couple little basic things. Left arm only swings, right arm only swings, pairing the hands together via, you know, what some coaches call the hell drill nowadays. I always called it the dollar bill drill with my juniors. Don't
I
drop the
love
dollar
that.
bill. Like, you know, just some connection, right? So finally, the end of day one, he's a lovely guy. He's doing the drills, but when he puts two hands on the club, Tom, his subconscious goes back to what he's been doing for years, like this crazy regrip. Literally at the top, my man, his face was pointed behind him. It was the most close face, yes, I have
If it
ever
goes a little
seen.
more, it'd be back square. It could just
It
keep
would if
going.
he just. I just. You know what? That's why you're a great coach. I should have just had him keep going, Tom, right around the horn. I should have, and then I could have made a new video series called Right Around the Horn to Square. You know what I mean? That would have been huge, right? Anyway, so Jim goes to me, he goes, would you mind just having a look at this guy? And so and I've done this before. I had him take one pass with a left-handed golf club. He hit it in the middle of the face. I swear to gosh, it was, granted, I put it on a little tee, hit it in the middle of the face, and the face path was nice. The ball went pretty straight. And I went pretty far. And I go, he says to me, well, I play baseball left-handed, I throw left-handed, I write left-handed. And I'm like, why are you trying to play golf? Typical thing, equipment as a kid. My dad gave me some right-handed clubs, and I always played right-handed. And the guy could shoot, like he could fight the good fight and shoot in the 80s. But let me tell you what, it was some kind of everything was a dogfight. So, you know, to your point, like I love teaching camps. And this guy, he was committed. The next day, I was armed with a few like eBay 2-year-old sets, 1 inch over length, big guy, 1 inch over length, lefty, maybe a couple degrees upright. I was prepared to say, hey, man, I don't want you to make this huge investment with left-handed clubs. I went and did a bit of research for you. You can buy these three sets for like $400 and you can fart around with this. I said, but your left-handed swing circle, you know, the face rotation and the swing circle is way better than this, like this tug of war you go on for a second and a half every swing time, every right-handed swing you make. I mean, it was unbelievable. He made Charles Barkley look like Adam Scott. Okay. So anyway, I mean, that's not common, right? Like the common low-hanging fruit, my man, is just
Has
nice
he always
hands.
done it? Did he say if he had always done it, like, or did it just start at some point down the road?
You know, on golf camps, you know, it's like a MASH unit. Like we're there to patch bullet wounds, right? Like, you know, so the golf camp is like, all right, meet and greet. People typically have watched some online content for me. You know, as well as I do, you can look at a guy hit a shot or two and you can look behind the veil real fast. Why do they hang back? They hang back to buy time to square the face. Why do they hang back? They buy time because the face is too shut. You know, you're kind of getting a sense for their physicality, their mobility. You ask them questions about what sports they might have played to link some language, you know, some words you may use to make an impact on them faster. So in that situation, like we'll do this little triage of iron shots off the turf to see if they can hit the middle of the face, see what their face and path looks like. We'll do a driver, get their thumbprint for attack angle. You know, usually we see down and across quite a bit. Occasionally we see too much, you know, up and out. And once we're armed with that, we go, okay. Here's like the root swing flaw issue, like the one that most any good coach can see. And then it's about, all right, how do you drip in the little protocols for them to fix it? And so oftentimes at the school, it's 2 days, or you know, on the road we do 2 days. In Phoenix we do three. So it's pretty, we get to it fast, and we just tell people, say, hey, you may have an epiphany today. You may walk away better, and many, many do right away. They one little grip tweak and they feel like, oh man, I can release this thing better now. It lets me do a variety of things. Some people though, like we give them, you know, I'm a big fan of Coach Now, that online training platform. A lot of people use, different ones on form or whatever. I don't care which one you use. I just want a way to have a communication back and forth with students that isn't through text message, you know? And that way I have a chronological way to kind of go, hey, here's where you were 2 years ago when I met you. Here's where you are today. Way to go. You're getting way better, you know? And then so we track it chronologically in the golf camp. And then we say, hey, look, you're not 10 across and 5 down anymore. You're 2 across and pretty level. So now what was a big wipey fade robbing you of 40 yards is now just a baby fade, not really robbing you of much. And then, hey, look, your divots were, you know, you didn't take a divot, or your low point wasn't in the right place because your pelvis, you know, meandered way off the ball during the backswing and can never get forward enough to move that your center of mass to where you could hit down on the ball. And so we try to do that as fast as possible, so people kind of get like, holy shit, like, all right, I see what I got to fix. And then some can get on it right away. Some need to get away from the crazy stimulus of a golf camp, go home, digest it, watch their videos. And when they leave us, they probably have 20 to 30 short video touches, whether it's from me or one of my guys or a group discussion. You know what I mean? And then they'll go through them all, and then they'll like, I'll say, hey, here's your homework. So I'll teach somebody how to take a damn video, because I get some of the worst videos sent to me, Tony. You can't even believe it. Oh, you
Oh, I
can believe
believe
it.
it. I
You
believe
know what I
it.
mean? Like, I make them do it right in front of me, set it up a fit, like, you know, we shoot vertical when we portrait when we're sending individual videos. I'll do my presentations landscape just because it'll, you know, I can walk around more. But we'll make them take a video, post it in their space as a test video down the line and face on. And they're like, yep, got it. That was easy. And then 2 weeks later, I'll get like, they're barely in the frame. Like, I'll see like half their body, or they're so close to the camera, the club is gone right away, or whatever. So it's like half the time, I'd say half the time I could do a better job as a coach, and half the time the student could do a way better job as listener and application of what I'm trying to help them with. You know what I mean?
That's a good point, real good point right there. And I do think, like you talked about coach now or on form, I use on form. I think, like, I go back to when I was a kid, high school and then to college, and Mark Wood was my golf instructor as a, you know, going into college.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd go take a lesson, and I mean, and he'd video it all, but like when I left, I was pretty much on my damn own until a couple months later we had break and I was able to go back. But now I tell folks nowadays, I think that like it's made, if you're willing to really try to learn, you can go see somebody like you, get real good information, and stay following up on it and stay on your program pretty dang easy now.
Yeah.
If you take the time,
Easy.
like if you said, if you take the time to learn how to film and you're really good at communicating and listening and applying the stuff, I think it's probably easier than ever now to get a program from somebody that like you that really knows how to help somebody and stay on it.
Yeah, so we always have a playing component to our camp. So the second day of the second camp, whenever we go on the road, we do two 2 day camps back to back. So this
Okay.
was I'm on the golf course with this nice guy from Spokane, and he's a smaller dude, and he can hit it. Like, his driver swing speed was like 97. He could hit it for a guy being 60 and literally 5'5". But he was so inside out and up, right? And it's like, okay, I can mess with him on the golf course. Like, all we did on the range was give him like Tommy Fleetwood drill, you know, get him on the name stick, get a shaft parallel, don't let him get stuck underneath it, or he's gonna chunk hook every ball or shoot it 9 miles out to right field. And he's got the speed. So when we go on the golf course, right? So what he did so nicely on the range, you know, he's got the good hands on it. He's in his little comfort zone. He's got his kind of playing sticks organizing his path. And then as soon as he gets on the golf course, and trust me, he did a great job with routine, because I'm a huge fan of routine. He goes out there, and then that right hand gets slipping under. He gets the arm more pinned across his chest. You know, the path shoots out to right field. And so for like, we were out in the course for maybe 7 holes. I let him suffer, totally let him suffer. I let him lose like 7 balls. Okay. So here's what I said to him. Like, the other people were doing nice. One husband and wife were doing nice. And he was cool, because the first day, every bad shot he hit, he was like, oh, yeah, oh, you know what I mean? And then I said to him, I go, listen, if you give those bad shots that much attention, they're going to stick with you. I said, let's see you give bad shots like no attention. and let's see you pat yourself on the back for a good shot. And so I'll tell you what he did amazing, even though he lost seven balls on a really hard golf course. He didn't get mad once. He didn't give a bad shot any poor attention. I was like, wow. So I let him suffer as far as like where the ball went. Okay. At the end of the deal, I said to him, hey, Dr. David, go, that wasn't obviously what you did there today was not what you wanted. He's like, I know that sucked, blah, blah, blah. I go, no worries. I said, I'll be back. This is Friday night. I said, I'll be back in my studio on Saturday. I'm gonna send you my thoughts from our plane today. So yesterday when I was catching up on some of my student videos, I sent about a 5-minute video. I said, Dr. Dave, you know, on the range, you are diligent about a great right hand. On the course, you got the old super deep interlock, right hand under. I go on the range, you're super diligent about getting your left arm up as you turned on the course and went pinned again. I said, so I could have got on you out there, but I was really proud of the fact that after every bad shot, and trust me, you hit a bunch of them. I mean, you hit a couple good ones. You didn't beat yourself up. That to me was an awesome improvement. Now, that wasn't a technique improvement. That was a mindset improvement. So I was going to, you know, I thought maybe you'd play your way into the fields that you had success with, but I was just proud of the mindset improvement you had. Then I said to him, hey, you know, the fallback was XYZ. And then he got back to me, man, that's awesome. I kind of thought that, but, and so now, you know, like you're saying, whether you use Coach Now or OnForm, I don't care what you use, as long as you have a way to relate to people. And it's again, and not through just a random text message. Now he's like pumped. Like he's pumped. He said, okay, I get it. I felt my range time was really sound. I lost my mind on the golf course, but he said he lost his mind on the golf course anyway, you know? And so I let him, and, but he didn't lose his mind. He just hit it bad. And then
Right.
when I got back, I just kind of reiterated the things he needs to work on. So now he's got his little personal protocol and he's got his like weaponized walking routine. You know, because to me, that's such a big deal. Can I ask you a question, Tone? Can I ask
Yes.
you like a coach to coach? Okay. Patrick Cantlay, you probably met the guy. I've never met him. Have you met him over the years?
Maybe once or twice. Very, very. If I was in the same group, right, or
Okay.
something like that. Yeah.
And Jamie Mulligan, nothing but respect for that guy. He's
Right.
developed some
Great
amazing
teacher.
players and a lovely guy. What in the heck is up with his routine, dude? Like, what in the heck? How do you stand over a golf ball varying moments in time at different times of the round? And how is that not, for his guy as good as he is, how does he not have more like a common walk-in routine where his brain kind of knows when the ball is going to leave the face versus nobody, no TV viewer knows when that guy's going to hit it. You know what I mean? It could be 15 seconds, could be 32 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Like how is that guy that good
Well, I mean,
and
it's
stands over
crazy.
it that long?
And you know, like I know from, you know, I still think of all the things I learned from my mentor at different times being on the tee and little things. I remember one time he talked to me about, you know, you didn't wasn't about grip break, but you just didn't want tension, right? Like tension in the golf swing. And it was about, you know, like there's no way somebody could stand over the ball for 20 seconds or whatever, and there not be some tension creep in, you know? So
Yeah.
I would agree with you. I think that, you know, but I mean, I don't know him, but he's crazy talented, but obviously a great player. So that's like almost overcoming a handicap to me if you've got that in there.
Yeah. I'm amazed. Like I am absolutely amazed that a dude, you know, and maybe coaches, like I'm a freak about routine and teaching people, you know, what their kind of time frame is as they walk into a golf ball. And like we do every routine based on kind of a Tiger Woods thing that Scott Fawcett sent me years ago. And then it's like once you see how good Tiger was in 2000, Scott's study of him that year just showed like his walking routine was like the exact same the whole year. It was a freak. Now, what preceded the shot wasn't lots of different thought, lots of talk with Stevie Williams, lots of
Right.
throwing grass up in the air, whatever. But once he made his mind up, man, from the first step he took to the ball being in the air was like clockwork, freaky. Okay. So, you know, I try not to tell, I tell students, hey, I'm never mad if I miss a shot. I'm mad if I miss a shot before I hit it. Meaning, you know, obviously, did I make my choice? Did I choose a club? Did I pick a target? Did I have my kind of shot shape and feel in mind? Okay, good. Then I go through my cadence of walking routine. And then the ball's in the air, and then I'm either happy okay, or it's indifferent, or it's like, oh shit. And if it's the latter, okay, what was it? Did I hit it too far? Did I miss hit it in the face? What created the outcome that was undesirable? And then give it a little bit of like potential, what can you fix? But then move on. But the same, I'm just such a big fan of walk-in routine and the timing of it, because I think it like takes people's stress level down. And to your point about tension.
Right.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy, perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Unlike other energy drinks, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes. So you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free Hydrating Energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3 year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
You're walking into the ball the same way. It's like almost that it's the security blanket. It's the pacifier. It puts you in the zone for the 1 minute of a golf round. You need to be in the zone.
Curious on your thoughts on this too. I'm big on how you step into the ball.
Oh, exactly. Right? Amen.
100%. Because I've only coached one player that was ever really good that got his feet in there first. That was Lucas Glover. But he wasn't a very good aimer, right? Like, and every time I tried to change that, he hit it shitty worse. So, and I'm fired now. So I probably shouldn't have ever tried to mess with him. But everybody else, like to me, like I love having people step in with the trail foot, aim the face, bring up the lead foot, step out. It's almost like a dance routine, kind of to what you were talking about a second ago. Like to me, and then on top of that, I mean, I'm not talking about block practice, but like you ought to practice doing that on the range too. The first time you try to do it shouldn't be on the first tee or the first fairway.
No, I make every student. That's a big part of my golf school. Like we dedicate a couple hours of that walk-in routine. Like of course, and so then what I'll say, prior to the walk-in routine, I'll say, hey, listen. You've got some technical thing you're working on, okay? And I'll think of Alex Noren, okay. Who's got a crazy pre-shot swing, or Justin Rose, or even Tiger Woods. They've got these really elaborate moves they do, right? And people go, oh, you just play golf. Jack Nicklaus just swung his swing, and Arnold Palmer, horse shit. Okay, sorry for the kids, I shouldn't swear. I mean, you overcome. I always say golf is a history. It's a history lesson. You are pulling history. You have a 7 iron. It's whatever distance for your physicality. you've hit that shot either nicely in practice or previously in a tournament or somewhere where you briefly go back and trigger historical reference to a good shot. You better anyway. Okay. Then your body floods. Oh, that was a good one. I can feel the good shots I've hit. I can feel the bad shots I've hit. I go back and try to choose. Oh, I roasted this 5-iron perfectly. I'm going to apply it to this situation. You get this feel, you make this little practicey swing, kind of washing that over yourself. And then there's your commitment. I'm starting it right there. Left bunker going to fade, 5 yards, or I'm going to aim it right in the middle of the green. Maybe I pull it a bit, pins left anyway. And then you walk into the thing, to your point, it's a dance. And that dance puts you sort of in that automatic pilot situation. I tell all my students, I want your checklist complete by the time you really tip over and aim the face, trail foot, tip over, aim the face. By then, if you haven't assembled great hands in your arms and haven't gotten organized that part, and you're sitting there thinking about your grip and where your arms go, you're right. Done. But you can do all this nice assembly, check, 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 after you've taken a little practice swing, worrying about where your elbows and arms are going, to where now you're like, oh, I'm ready to just perform this 1 second event.
Yeah.
And
I love
1.2.
And I love that you teach that too. I know we got all this tech and this science and it's all great, but man, that stuff can really help recreational golfers as much as anything. Having a process to get into the ball correctly in the same way every time, and a trigger that helps them go.
Mm-hmm. I always say, my coaches and I, Big Jim says, I can tell somebody's handicap by how they tee up a golf ball. That's what Big Jim says. I mean, that to me is a bit rich, but I get it, because you see some people put their thumbs on it and then the ball falls. They don't know how to tee up a golf ball, right?
Right.
And I go, well, I tell you what, sometimes when we, after lunch, we'll get in our little people mover and we'll drive to the back of the range at the Raven where my studio is and where we do, our 3-day camp all winter. And then I'll say to the people, like, shh, look at that guy right there. And we're looking at a guy and maybe he's really good and you can kind of see him. He's got a ball, he sets a ball up and he's got maybe an aim stick pointing at something. He'll walk back, he'll take a little practice swing. Then he'll walk in, to your point, and he's kind of walking in his routine. I go, watch that guy. And I don't know who he is. I'm just rando practicing at the Raven, okay? I go, before he even hits it, I can tell you that guy's way going to beat that guy who's like, doesn't know what he's doing standing over a golf ball. You know what I mean? So it's like, and people look at it and go, you're right. I can tell that guy is more skilled than that guy. Why? And he hit a ball yet? Because he's got this sense of rhythm and how he gets to his golf ball. And then rhythm can happen afterward.
The other thing too is, like, I think good players have that routine and they get in there and they take a slower look at the target. And then when they get back to the ball, they go.
Yeah.
The recreation, you have guys that aren't very good that are, you can tell they're going through what you talk about, like the checklist after they're in with the ball, and they either don't look at the target at all or their eyes dart real quick back and forth, and they just keep going. It's like, to your point though, like you and I could be standing on the back of that Raven tee and see those two guys and we'd know which one's going to be the better play.
Right. Except Patrick Cantlay, he can stand there for 30 seconds.
Okay. So he's the outlier. He makes us all look dumb. That's what everybody's going to say. When you when you talk about switching a guy from right-handed to left-handed, I was going to say, ask for one of your crazier stories of improvement from a golf camp or a golf school.
Yeah.
So that takes that. But any other, I love the fact you take them on the golf course. I do that in my retreats too. Like we work in the morning, have lunch, we go out. I try to always bring some of my young players that are trying to, that are earning their way to play for a living, to make them go out there with them. It helps make them a little cash, but I think it's good for folks to see how it's done a little bit. Curious the things you look for and that you help them with on the course, because I think that's such a valuable thing for you to be able to take them out there on the golf course and let them suffer or jump in there and help them.
It's funny, like I don't let them suffer too much. This dude, I was really happy with the non-performance part. Just him not getting mad at himself, because maybe he was with me. He was just going to, prove to me that he could kind of keep his cool and go through his routine, which I was proud of. I told him that. But the interesting thing, Tony, we do is, like, nowadays with launch monitors, I mean, you can make swings in front of them and it'll tell you how fast you're swinging. without even hitting a ball. So, you know, like on the road, like I've got every launch monitor known, but I'll take like a Foresight, you know, Mevo, and I'll set it down there and I'll put it on just swing speed. And then I'll ask the student, okay, show me 60 mile, full swing, 60 miles an hour. And they'll look at me and they'll have, you know, show me full swing, 60 miles an hour, no ball. And they'll just have no idea how to accumulate energy at a certain speed. And then if I call in, like we had a guest coach at Tethro, the director of golf there, I said, come on in, good player, Hunter. I go, Hunter, do me a favor. He had a 7-iron and it, you know, his max probably 90 miles an hour. I go, swing me one 70 miles an hour. And this is right in front of the whole group. 70.0. Okay. First swing I asked him to swing it. I said, give me an 80. And he's like, like 80.8. Okay. And so this, he didn't know what I was going to ask him to do. He just was a, you know, former college golfer. And then, you know, a good playing golf pro director, a golf guy who obviously can vary the speed with which he can move a golf club. Club golfers have very little idea about that unless you show them how to do it. And then when the better the player gets, the more dialed they can get it. And then obviously if they have some way to, you know, get the delivered loft around the same, now their ball speed's the same, and then all of a sudden they've got control over the ball. And then I say, hey, listen, it's not where how far your ball goes, it's where your ball stops, and do you know where it's going to stop? Because I think everybody plays in this like infinity mindset. Like, you know, oh, I've got driver, therefore it's infinity mindset. Ooh, if I hit this one nice, it just might go 480. No, it's not going to go 480. You swing at 85 miles an hour. You know, it's going to go 230 if you nut it perfectly and right. It rolls 20 yards. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you know you're swinging a club 85 miles an hour and you know what 85 feels like and you know what the circle it produces, you can step up to a ball and go, hey, I'm going to reproduce a simple feeling and then hopefully contact's reasonable and my outcome is going to be predictable rather than I'm going to hit this thing. And, you know, and they don't really have a sense of the speed and the circle going around them, whether, you know, more inclined for a wedge or a little flatter for a driver. But once people have that, like, oh, shit, okay, I guess I'm a 90-mile-an-hour guy, then they'll all say, well, I want to be faster. And I'll say, well, I want to be 20 years younger, you know? And so once they realize, hey, this is my physicality, I can do this nicely, they can start getting better, more predictable ball flight.
I love what you were talking about there about the speed. I've had a couple guys that two different ability range. One guy trying to play, another guy just 15 handicapper, but really struggled with wedge play, like controlling distances, really. Mm-hmm. And all of the things I'd kind of been stopped, talked people like choked down on it, three, you know, changed the size, whatever, didn't work. You know, but they were both younger, different generation where they're, you know, played around with launch monitors a lot. And we got into the speed of them trying to hit speed numbers rather than and control speed rather than worry about the other stuff. And they both had, it was really mind blowing how much better they got after just a little bit of attention on that to hitting those numbers. And then I actually felt good about myself at the end of the lesson. Both those guys left and were kind of like, oh, wow, that's like a new way for me to, especially like the 15 handicapper, like that was like a new way for him to feel like he even set efforts. I bet I could control the golf ball. Like I understood it a little better. And but so what you were talking about there was interesting to me. Like sometimes we just stumble into ways to help people, not, you know, started out with the plan of that all the time.
No. And it was I saw this. I don't know. It was a coach, an Asian coach. I couldn't tell you, like maybe Chinese, maybe Japanese. I forget the coach. And he had these girls and they were just basically, he was doing that with them and they were like robots on their club speed. You know, he had the girls and he was saying, okay, 75, 80, like they were swinging 7 and 8 irons, really high level players, but they could control their club speed rhythmically, like to the mile an hour, dude, to the mile an hour. Okay. And so, you know, from there too, like obviously we're dealing with different intent and all kinds of funny business that people have. So, you know, we're in the intent modification business, you know, because people come to see us, they have their belief. I don't care if it's the first, I'm a beginner. No, I know you're not a beginner. You're no such thing. You've seen a golf ball fly. You have some intent. you're going to imply your intent no matter what I say. So I have to modify your intent no matter what. So you're going to suffer through this because you have to, because it's an intent modification, whether it's, you know, some silly grip thing, or like newbies always feeling like their face has to go back perfectly square and go through perfectly square, you know. And so it's the first shot they hit is a pattern they're fighting forever, you know. So that's the business we're in.
No, you're exactly right. Last question. Training aids out there.
Sure.
You've got a bunch of them. For the recreational golf, if a recreational golfer was coming to you and said, hey, give me a couple things that might help, where would you start? A 15 handicapper? I know there's a wide range, but I want to pick your brain on that.
So my thing is, I've got a few patents. And actually today was a big day for my small business, because I don't know if like your viewers don't pay much attention to this probably, but today is like de minimis day. And if anybody knows what that means, basically, you know, say you lived in Italy, Tone, okay, and I lived in Scotland, and you're my brother, and I'm going to send you a gift. Yeah. Well, there was a thing where I could send you a gift and I didn't have to pay taxes and tariffs on it. And you would get the gift. Hey, that's my birthday. Thanks, bro, for sending it to me. Well, in the U.S. now, that number was pegged at $800. And so anybody could send anything into the United States under $800. Well, that's a lot of stuff nowadays. Think about it. Big screen TVs, your toaster ovens, you name it. Okay, so every product I've made, and I've been in the business a long time now, 15 years. So 15 years ago, this was the way we did it. Stuff was, and I'm sorry, I'm going down a different road here with you, bud. But stuff was shipped into the country. I paid my taxes and tariffs for it. I put it in a warehouse. I shipped it out to the consumer. Well, now what happens is somehow these people figured out like these loopholes. And I say these people, I'm talking from around the country, particularly in China, though. And I got nothing against Chinese people. I love everybody. But the point is, and I don't blame you for if you know how to play by the rules, even if the rules are broken. You play by them. Good for you. You're winning by the rules. Well, basically what would happen is, you know, they would take a product like mine, say the smart ball. So a 15 handicapper putting, you know, a patented inflatable ball on a lanyard between their arms and learning how not to have chaotic arms and arms that kind of behave a little bit better. You're going to make better circles. You're going to have way less stuff going on with your wrist hinges. You're going to make cleaner swings. You're going to get better faster. So today, like, they shut off that de minimis thing, meaning other countries can't ship stuff into the country free of taxes and tariffs. Now, of course, I don't care what administration you vote for, but my point is finally somebody's doing something to protect small business in the country, because they would all go away, buddy. Like, you know, everybody thinks I fly around on a private jet. I do really well. I work my ass off, but I'll tell you what, every small business that has any sort of intellectual protocol or patents, it's worthless now, because companies overseas go, oh, that's a successful product. I will knock that off and I will ship it in the United States because I can. And so people go, oh, I just want to save a couple bucks. I'll buy the knockoff from wherever it's being shipped in from. And they do. And so next thing you know, inventors like me who spend the time to create the market, develop the product, make the product, somebody just knocks it off, ships it in the country. So anyway, long way around for me to say, what the hell would I do with a 15 handicapper? You know, if you have wrist condition issues, what you'd mentioned earlier in our conversation, like we just got on the horn, is that like the wrist clicky. That's not my invention. Like, I think Ben Doyle might have started that years and years ago. George Gankas has a great one. I've got one. You know, I do have some solid patents, though. And, you know, it's like if a golfer wants to get better, they can learn how to do 15 minutes of a protocol with a decent training aid, whether it's a wrist clicky thing that teaches you how to grip the club well and wear wrists and how they could behave in a golf swing to be more reliable, or how something could go between your arms to be more reliable, or, you know, one of my gizmos, the swing trainer, the rubber bands that's on the belt, you know, how that can make you more confused about where your swing goes, so you actually become aware of where the club's traveling. Because people, they have a blackout zone, Tone. They don't know, right? The swing is 1.3 seconds if you're slow, 1 second if you're a stud athlete. And if it's over 1.3 seconds, then you're not very good, because there's very few people that play golf and swing it and hit it worth their salt that swing it over 1.3 seconds. So by the time we get to the damn thing, it's like 1/1000, it's over, done. So if you're not sort of athletically organized in that brief period of time, you're not playing good golf. And for all your 15 handicappers that say, oh, I got quick, you got quick because during your backswing, I could go have a coffee and a Danish. And then by the time you thought to go hit it, that's such a sudden change of direction. It feels quick. If you athletically develop something more athletic going back, you'd respond with something more athletic coming down. It'd be more reliable and you'd have more fun and you'd hit it farther.
Cool thing about what you said there with all the training aids, what you mentioned, 3, 4, 5. And like I always tell folks, like there's not one that fixes everybody.
No.
And the whole key to like, to me is like, and you've touched on multiple times in this, you said just a few minutes ago about like, whatever it is you do, that's what this guy's going to be doing the rest of his life, you know? And so like, to me, the whole key is to go to somebody like you or whoever and find out what that one thing is and get a good plan and find a training aid that'll help coach you and give you feedback and stay on that damn thing till you don't do it as much anymore and you can do it on the golf course.
Right. Amen, brother.
You know, man, you're the best. I really appreciate you taking time on a Labor Day weekend. I know you're off this week, but I was trying to sneak this one in and
oh, my pleasure.
You're always great. Love all your stuff and thanks for all your support too. And
one of these days we're going to connect and do a camp together. Let's have some fun. It'd be great to do it.
I would love to. That'd be super fun to come to or have you over to me.
Awesome. All right, man.
Take care, brother.
Take care.